Hello and welcome to Blockchain Gaming World, episode 133. I'm your host, John Jordan, and joining me today we have Nicholas Gillow from Ultra. How's it going, Nicholas?
Hey, John. Thanks a lot for having me today. Doing great.
Good.
We are, you know, putting a lot of work into to launch Ultra. So yeah,
busy as hell. We were just discussing before the call. We've sort of been in touch. We've known each other for a while, but actually we haven't really, as far as we can work out, haven't spoken for a number of years. So it's good to catch up. And I guess the main reason we're catching up now is to talk particularly about Ultra and the phases you've gone through, sort of finally going live and all that sort of stuff. I should point out you are the co-CEO. You're one of those weird companies that has two CEOs. Maybe there's so much work going on. It has to be two of you, but. To kick us off, I guess it's always good to get a bit of a some background knowledge on the person I'm talking to. And you've got sort of quite a good backstory in terms of sort of what you were doing beforehand. So can you give us a bit of how you got into gaming and how you got into blockchain and how you put those two things together with Ultra, which I think started in 2018, maybe even a little bit before then. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But anyway,
fair enough. No, indeed. Here we haven't had the chance to speak for a long time. We've been a bit cavemen because we've been developing, you know, like a lot, so not going out a lot. I met a lot of people recently, but yeah, now we are at a good time for this, so it's really great. So to explain to you a bit about the background, I've been in the space, like in the game space, for roughly 15-20 years. Initially, I was a hardcore gamer. So played a lot of, you know, Counter-Strike, even Age of Empires, so, you know, like RTS games. And that was with my partner, David, who's the co-founder of the company as well. So we initially co-founded teams, like Counter-Strike teams, and then go around the world, travel, do competitions, early days of esports. And then from there, we started making companies together, where he usually focuses on product development, and I focus on the rest, which is business, marketing, legal, finance, operation, the fun. We had initially a mobile game studio, which was in China. We also had a PC game studio. This one got acquired by Kingsoft, which is, you know, the sister company of Xiaomi, the same CEO. We had as well a monetization strategy company, so how to make the business of games better for developers, publishers, and the different actors. So helping the large brands, Tencent, Gameloft, others, on how to make more money or better use acquisition, or, you know, the sort of free-to-play era. When this came up, there was a lot of unknown and lots of problems occurred as well. So we were there to guide people. And then before Ultra, we launched a game console for the Chinese market. So I spent, me and David, so around 8 years in China. And basically, we had the opportunity to work on a very large project, which was government-backed, Chinese bank-backed, $120 million project, which was basically building a game console with AMD for the market. So that was fun. So we went sort of around the clock of the game space, playing the games, making the games, the hardware of the games, the business of the games, distribution of the games as well, because basically game console is like a PC but with Steam integrated at the end of the day. And then in terms of blockchain, so I've been around the space since late 2010, early 2011, so 12 years more or less. So we had like miners back in the days when you could mine almost a Bitcoin a day, so that was, but it did the same values today, so I mean, you didn't make more money, it's just you had to wait for it. we followed all the craze, everything happened. So the smart contracts that came up with Ethereum, that's where really we thought about, okay, that's actually a new technology that makes sense for us in terms of providing new solutions. And that's what we decided to do, is basically create Ultra, which basically would solve a lot of the problems that we found in the games industry. Across like many years, whether it's in distribution, whether it's as a publisher, whether it's as a gamer, or the actors. And then we had to use blockchain technology to address that. So initially we looked around, didn't find any solutions, so we decided to create our own blockchain as well. So Ultra combined a lot of different parts of technology. We have the layer one technology, which is something we developed, which has, you know, no transaction fees, it's almost instant. There is like over 10k TPS, like 12k TPS, and we can scale it also down the line. So we had to design this for the games industry with the needs of the games industry. So it's very different in a sense from what you see out there, and lots of the problems that arise today in the industry are solved by Ultra because we had to think the blockchain based on the product we want to build, which is made for mass market for the games industry. And the fact we sort of own the whole vertical, we can also adapt each pieces to make it better for the mass market. So if we find a problem, say in distribution of games, because we need IP protection in China, okay, actually we can fix that problem at protocol level, for example. And so everybody can benefit from those updates. So that's how we basically have a different approach than most companies, where usually they focus on layer one, or they focus on layer two, or they focus on making a game distribution platform or marketplace, you name it. And here we sort of have the full stack, which makes the experience much seamless for users.
Mm-hmm. And I guess that it's kind of interesting that, you talk about your history. Basically, most of those bits that you were talking about running companies, you sort of, those are part of Ultra. So that's all those sort of, you know, that sort of experience has sort of been accumulated and then put into Ultra. But I guess it also goes to show, we were sort of joking before, that I think, I can't remember, you announced in 2017 or 2018, but that one of the reasons it's taken you so long to do this is because you're not building a, you know, you're building all these sort of bits and they all sort of have to work together. You know, there is a, there's no point just building one sort of module and just go, oh, we've released it. You have to build whatever many different modules there are, which I guess, you know, they will have to be sort of built at the same time, and then there's feedback loops and then... Is that, I mean, did you? I assume having done that before, you just knew this was going to be a long process. But did it take longer? Having, because obviously you're building your own blockchain. I guess we should sort of emphasize that as well as all the elements you're doing. You're actually building your own standalone blockchain that everything runs off, which is, you know, that's a multi-year project in and of itself.
Yeah, I mean, companies do that for 3-4 years and then they release a blockchain. We did sort of that plus all of the others. And it's a lot of innovation. And innovation, you can't really forecast the time spent on it because, yeah, you're going to find maybe a solution. Maybe you're not going to find a solution directly. You're going to have to do further R&D. And that's really what's complicated because it's across multiple angles. And at the same time, there's to work for everything, in a sense, across different devices, across different, you know, languages. It has to be seamless, but provide the real advantages of blockchain technology, like the, you know, the centralization, the non-custodial aspects, all these kind of things that are often tackled with like simpler solution, but then you don't get in the essence of the blockchain, you don't get the real benefit. Just use the database, then, if that's, you know. so that's a bit, you know, definitely the time that we had, you know, we forecasted a few years, but actually longer than that. But now we are at basically at a level where we have a lot of the foundational technology done, and the fun starts in a sense, because we have the Ultra Games got released just like last month. The marketplace got released mid-end next year, last year. The wallet got released a bit earlier than that, and here we are opening now the the network to people to be able to build on it. Because I would say the big difference with Steam, if you take the example, Steam is making distribution. Here we have this Ultra Games, which is a part of the ecosystem. But Ultra Games alone cannot really, you know, do the job of beating Steam. You need to have this ecosystem that doesn't exist on Steam. On Steam, you are locked into whatever Steam decide to provide to you, and it's plugged into the ecosystem. That's it. Ultra, the advantage of the blockchain and then the framework is you can create businesses around it, or existing businesses like a Twitch is already existing, but you can easily integrate it and make it part of the distribution solution in a sense. So for the experience for the users, they come, they can see the game, they can watch the stream, they can play the tournament, they can receive an airdrop because they own this or that, you know. We can make a cohesive ecosystem that doesn't exist out there. Right now, everything is fragmented. Everything is on one on Discord for user communication, you go on Steam for that, you go on, you know, and that's a problem, not a big problem in a sense that, okay, it's a lot of hurdle for users to click, register, and all that, but more a hurdle in terms of benefit that each other can bring to each other. Right now, there's very few benefit. But here with this, you can actually create synergies very easily because the blockchain is sort of the glue in between all those elements.
Yeah, no, synergies is, I think, definitely the appropriate word here. I mean, when you talk about that, and I wonder if I'm a sort of someone who's part of the problem here, do you sometimes, often Ultra is sort of described as a sort of Steam using the blockchain. And I guess to some degree, there's a sort of fair comparison in there, but in some degree, it's equally not quite capturing exactly what you're trying to do. It's difficult because it's difficult to explain all the different bits you're doing in without having a very long, complicated paragraph of saying what you're doing. So maybe Steam on the blockchain is sort of like the simplest way of sort of explaining some of it, I suppose.
Yeah, but that's totally the case because it's hard to explain a concept that does not exist yet. To people, like, to grasp your idea around a new concept is very complicated, but attaching it to something which is, okay, people know what that is, people know what Steam is in the game space, it's much easier to grasp. But yeah, the reality is that we are much, much more than a Steam Plus, right? It's really like a sort of new paradigm, the similar paradigm you would have on a mobile phone. Right now, you know, you pull out your phone, Apple made the phone, or whoever, then you have the iOS on it. On top of that, you have the SDK for the developers to build on top of it. But they also created all the different apps, which are like the core apps, which we do as well, like Ultra Games for distribution, Marketplace, Wallet, and all that. And then this become an interesting product because there is like a lot of cool application and services that you want to use on this device. That's basically the today's smartphones, but on PC doesn't exist. Nothing. It's just, okay, figure it out, find your application and services wherever they are. They don't interact with each other beside the, okay, I can share something there. Yeah, great. But I sort of stopped there. So you can really see Ultra is much more of an infrastructure for the game space and entertainment in general, but also the ecosystem itself. So we sort of build the whole pipe, same way Apple would do it. But on top of that, there is really this blockchain that increase the potential synergies that you don't have with a phone today.
And I think maybe one of the other sort of the traps of using the sort of Steam on blockchain comparison is then it becomes very easy to go, well, Ultra is competing with Steam, which I guess to some minor degree you are, but that's sort of the wrong comparison, partly because obviously Steam's been going for whatever 15 years and you know has this, you know, obviously has these enormous IPs, you know, CSGO and CSGO 2 and all that sort of stuff coming on, and obviously what you're trying to do is, you know, I guess maybe, I don't know, you tell me, over the long term you sort of think your model's going to win out because of these sort of synergies and these sort of the blockchain bit, but clearly in the short term no one is going to go, well, maybe they'll, but very few non-blockchain games are going to go, I'm going to do an exclusive launch on Ultra, because you do it on Steam, because that's where all the players are. So you're sort of in this, you know, interesting sort of launch phase where how do you sort of position yourself in a way that sort of people understand what you're doing?
Yeah. But in terms for the, I would say for the game developers, obviously, it would be, you know, a choice to say, okay, I'm not going on Steam, which is a tough choice to make. But at the same time, right now on Steam, you can't really go if you're a blockchain developer, because simply you can't. Say, sorry, but not in our policy. That could change. I mean, they could change that if they decided to change that. Now they don't have a model where they can earn from it, which is a problem for them. They prefer people spending their money on something where they earn, is Steam, is a company, is Valve. Where here in the blockchain space, they don't have the technology to actually earn from it, which we do. We build the blockchain, so we have the whole value, you know, captured as well. We capture a part of this value, which means we have an interest to do it. The big difference with Steam is that it's very hard, even for a game developer season, to have his game noticed. So you can go on Steam, that's great. People can find your game, but still there are nowhere, in a sense. It's like, I don't know, 800 games every month. So why would people see your game and not Capcom's latest game? because yeah, Capcom's bigger, so obviously if Steam puts it on in front of everyone, they're gonna make more money. As simple as that. On Ultra, you really have this sort of, you can grow your community around your game, you can make them participate, you can have people promoting your game as well. And all of that help you to grow your game from the get-go. You start it, you have your beta phase, you can airdrop, you can work with, an influencer and say, hey, I'm going to give you some keys, people can try my game. There you go, you're going to have more people interested in your stream, I'm going to have more interest for my game, both wins. And those people start to be early community, early adopters. They can talk about the game and promote it, and they earn from it as well. Then you can incentivize them with like a tournament. You can really have this sort of grow your game with your community that you don't have on Steam. Steam, you have early access and sort of stops there. There is really much more interactions and visibility, because we don't have the same amount of users, but we provide the tools, the solutions for you to make your game a success, because you can leverage other people to support you, and they generate revenue and benefits or anything as well. So everybody wins in this concept. So the streamers, influencers, the brands, the actors, the players, everybody can benefit from it. And that's much stronger value proposition for both the developers and the players.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I guess sort of broadly speaking, what you're trying to do, talk about these synergies and talking about, you know, these sort of network effects that are sort of embedded into your platform in a way that everyone can be incentivized with, whereas clearly the network effects of Steam go to Valve and maybe some of the other top companies in that ecosystem, and everyone else sort of is sort of fighting for the scraps, whereas the idea of something like Ultra, if it's successful and grows, then everyone can sort of have a play their part in that ecosystem. So one of the interesting, as you mentioned, actually, so various parts of sort of Ultra have been going live over the last sort of 6 months or so, and I guess we had a sort of one of the sort of big sort of PR things was last month officially the sort of platform went live, so anyone could download the client and sign up and start to use it, which is very much the start of the process. But one of the things I was interested in is that you're also, you're in terms of the distribution of games, you're distributing PC games. And obviously there's Web3 games in there, but it's also you are doing Web2 games. So this is, you know, some standard PC games that you could get on other stores, you're doing that. So given that, you know, why would you decide that you wanted to do that? What's the advantage of people who have games without any of those blockchain elements in there? Why would you want to support them when you're...
I would say in terms, if you think about the gamers today, they're not in the Web3 space.
Yeah.
They are where they are, like, playing the games they are playing since forever. So if you limited yourself to Web3 games, you're limiting to a very small audience. Whether Web2 gamers are would be interested, but they just don't want any hassle. They don't want to be, you know, they don't want to have a complicated experience. And that's a big hurdle today in the Web3 space, that, yeah, it's complicated to use. I have to create a wallet. Oh, I have to do this. Oh, I have to buy some cryptocurrencies to use the game. And to do that, I need to do a KYC. I mean, sure. Web2 gamers are much higher, much more in terms of numbers, obviously. And so providing also an ease of access for Web2 gamers was very important, because the platform itself doesn't only cater to Web3 people, but to Web2 people as well, because we try to hide as much as possible any complexity. So they can benefit from the ecosystem of, you know, a Web2 game. Like, for example, for the tournament platform, we had PUBG tournament, Counter-Strike tournaments. I think we had Rocket League tournaments, which are not Web3 games, but bring the people in the Web3 space without even noticing it. Because what did they get as a reward? Oh, they got some crypto. Oh, they got an NFT. Why? Oh, actually, it's a graphic card from AMD. Cool. Give me the graphic card. No, actually, I don't want it. I want to sell it to somebody because I want the money to buy something else. Sure. But then you just got into using Web3 products without even noticing it ever occurred. Yeah. You just played your traditional game. Cool, there's a cool tournament, I'm going to play it. And that's it. And so this is really a hook for us to bring the people into the ecosystem, is to offer them like Web2 content that they love. And obviously we're going to have soon, you know, discounts and all the things that bring a lot of people. Like if you have a better discount than somewhere else, people come to you because they want to buy the game cheaper. Mm. And it's there. But once they're in, they're part of the ecosystem and they can be, we can show them some great value for them. And the second aspect will also be on the resellability of the games. Not all games are resellable, of course. Mm. But there is a business for the game developers that can provide secondary market resale of the game. So you buy the game, you receive it, play it, you sell it to somebody else, and the developer earns from it. So they're happy. I mean, if somebody played the game, talk about the game, sell it to somebody else. Free marketing. And then they get some money back. But for the player, if you buy it on Steam or you buy Ultra the same price, one, you can make some money back, which allows you to buy more stuff after. Because you can see like the how many games are never played on the Steam libraries. It's just insane. Mm-hmm. It's just like impulsive buying because there's a big discount. Okay. So it's sort actually, of a...
But, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, that... you know, I think it will take some time, or well, you have to have some framework around that, because actually developers quite like the fact that they put a game on discount and then everyone on Steam buys it, even if they never play it. And the developer's like, well, that's fine. They're not playing it. I got my money. What's wrong with that?
Sure.
And so for a developer, it's a bit scary that they go, well, someone's going to buy the game and then they're going to resell it. So obviously you have to have some framework around, you know, because exactly. At some point there's going to be more, very quickly, there'll be more games out there on resale than there will. So the developer won't sell any new won't sell, in a sense, yep. any new games at retail price, because everyone will be going, well, I finished with this one, now I'll sell it at half price. So actually, exactly. Just create some problems around that.
But that's exactly why our experience as game developer and publisher plays out, because we know all those problematics. So we fix them from the beginning. So we involve the game publisher as part of the experience. They decide how the market works. So they say, okay, for my game, you can reset it, but only 3 months after the launch. At a minimum price of $20, okay. And I take 30% of the game value. So you can really tweak the whole secondary market experience to your needs. So you can say, okay, I know I'm gonna make discounts of roughly 50% for the first period of time, second period 60%, third period 70%. So you can really plan the way you do your discounts and make the resellability part of the experience. So you can, okay, during the downtime where basically nobody's buying, because let's face it, a lot of the games after a few months after the launch, nobody buys unless there's a big discount, because they know it's gonna come at some point. Yeah, there's always discounts, but not as high as the developer would do, because he doesn't want to kill his own, you know, discount system, but bigger than, the price would be a bit higher, but people still won't have it because it's, yeah, okay, it's much cheaper. It's 30% off. Mm. I'm good with that. So everybody makes some money in the process. People buy cheaper at the time when there is no discount. Game developers get some money, but you wouldn't get any money at that point in time. And then the players receive some money back that they can spend back into new content. Every actor is happy for this.
No, I think if that works. I mean, I think again, it's like a lot of when you have innovation into a market, it probably, you know, it takes a while, probably, you know, in a sense a few years for developers to see how they can use that, because it's so different from what's gone before, and they have to think about, you know, is that game going to be a live service game, so how they're going to if they're going to use that sort of opportunity, then they probably want to, you know, how can we have sort of some level of control over people reselling it? You're not like to resell it if there's all this sort of stuff going on all the time. You think, well, I might as well keep it. And there's sort of ways in which you can do that. And I guess the other interesting thing is for players and developers, the idea of if I'm buying something off another player, so if you're selling your game and I'm buying it off you, and I know the developer's getting some money, does that actually mean that I'm, you know, my sort of view on the value of that interaction changes, because I don't feel like it's some faceless company taking, you know, a massive amount of money. I feel like, well, you know, someone who's played this game and has finished with it is getting some money. So, you know, I kind of feel like we're in the community of gamers and developers getting some of it. If that sort of stuff's transparent, it could sort of be actually that people, I wouldn't say care less about the financial, care less about the price, but there's a psychological change there, I think, where you sort of feel like it's not corporations getting the money, it's, you know, the money sort of passing between people in an ecosystem. But I think that takes quite a time for people to get their head around.
No, no, exactly. I think there is this aspect, and so the tokenization of games aspect doesn't stop to the financial aspect of it.
Yeah.
A lot of it is actually around the benefits for the users, and for the brands, and for the publishers. If you think about it, the fact your game is tokenized, you can have, for example, beta gated access for the game, when you can say, hey, you guys played Counter-Strike, we can see that you have the game Counter-Strike because the game is tokenized, so oh, you're going to get an early access to this specific game because we know you're a hardcore player and then you really like this kind of game, so we're going to give you some advantages. The same way you could have like receiving a voucher, which is again just an NFT, receive the voucher because we know you own this specific game for buying another game or like a discount, or receive a voucher for the same game, which is 20% off on your next purchase. So you can have like a lot of creative way to incentivize the players. Can airdrop them a ticket for a tournament. Say, okay, that's cool. You're like an active player. Boom, you receive that. And there is no work involved in a sense. You just click airdrop and that's it. And the rest gonna work with the ecosystem. Okay, Ultra Arena going to track the fact you own this NFT, so it's going to give you access to the tournament with a big prize pool. So you can really see the advantage of tokenizing the games. And it can go as far as like you go on a Discord, but you get access to talking with the developers because we can see your NFT is that old. So you're one of the early users. But maybe at some point you stop playing the game, you're like, I'm going to sell my game, somebody else gets it. It's an old version, and that means that it has more value because it has much more benefits tied to it as well.
So
there is really no limit in terms of possibilities. Obviously, we don't know all the use case, but we're going to see, you know, it's providing the tools and then the solutions to developers and players what they can come up with. We have our own ideas, obviously, but the fact of having this openness for the technology is that reality is we're going to have people creating crazy things on the solution, and it's going to blow our mind. It's going to be like, I don't know, quest system and mini quest system. You're going to have somebody who's going to help you, but this guy is paid automatically from the reward you get from the game because he's supporting you and you know, he's helping you like a pro player would help you. But you can do that with the blockchain and say, hey, okay, my earnings, you get 20%. Sure, very simple to do, because the blockchain will handle it. I don't have to trust the guy. He doesn't have to trust me. Just trust the service. It's managing it for me. So there is, that's really, I think, the how you're going to see a lot of the expansion is around also all those creatives, creative minds that are going to get with the tools and understand, oh, wow, there is a cool business for me I can make here. That's going to be super appealing for the players. There's a lot of value for them. And that's really how you grow an ecosystem. Obviously, you have like, you know, the forced way in a sense, like exclusive games, like that we do as well, because we know it works. I mean, it's simple. You buy your Nintendo because you want to play Zelda or Mario. It's the same with Ultra. You can have like, this is like the new crazy cool AAA FPS. I want to play it. I play it on Ultra. Done. But that's really a gateway to get more and more users to the ecosystem.
How quickly do you think that sort of those sort of synergies come about? Because it sort of strikes me that, you know, as with everything, the more, you know, the deeper developers integrate with Ultra as a platform, obviously the more sort of these opportunities they get. But obviously to begin with, you know, you always need to be starting a project sort of now in order to integrate it. So a lot of the sort of early stuff will be people doing sort of quite lightweight integrations with maybe, you say, maybe like the ownership model or, you know, the NFT platform you've got. So, you know, it seems, even though we're sort of laughing that it's taken much longer for you to get to launch than you sort of maybe had hoped, but it's probably like another 5 years for people to really get to grips with exactly what you can do, is it? I mean, this is a very long-term sort of play that you're
actually
in.
The reality is that you have a lot that doesn't require any level of integration.
Okay.
So that's really the cool part. Like, for example, if you want your game to be resettable or tokenized, we do the whole thing for you. You don't even need... So we get the build. It's automatically... There is DRM protection, digital right management protection put on it. It's becoming a token, which means it can be traded, which means you can use the interface to do whatever you want as a game publisher. This NFT can be used then by tournaments, or can be used by a streamer, or can be used like in all sorts of things. And that requires zero work on your end. Okay. And that's really how basically we bring in like developers in as well, is that they don't need to understand blockchain or care about blockchain to benefit from the blockchain aspects. And that's, I think, what's critical. If you go to somebody, say, hey, this is what you need to do, it's going to take you 2 months, and then you can use my system. Chances are that nobody in the company will agree to that, beside the tech genius. We'll be like, that's so cool, I want to do it. So you're going to say, nah, no. As simple as that. So it's really the fact that it's seamless for the users, but also for the people building on it, to use and leverage technology. So even if you just have content, you can leverage it. But obviously, you can do much deeper integration if you want to. And that's the case for our own exclusive games, because we want to showcase what's possible as well. So when we have like a big title making lots of users, lots of people see it, lots of money for developer, obviously it drives a lot of interest. The same way you saw the very early games like CryptoKitties and after Axies or others. If they were not successful in terms of generating revenue, nobody would have checked it out further, like, okay, sure, another game. But that's a big business. And all of a sudden, everybody looks at it like, maybe there is something. Hire a blockchain guy. I want to understand better what's going on in the space. And maybe give it a shot. That's really with success that you can drive interest.
And what sort of reaction are you getting from developers? Is it something they get their head around sort of quite quickly? Is it something they see as an opportunity? Or maybe is it something they see as a sort of a problem in terms of not sure about reselling their games?
But it depends on which aspects. So for the reselling, we have some that are like jumping in, say, yep, I want this, make a lot of sense. Some are like, yep, I want to see how it works in terms of metrics. Is it making sense? Then show me some use case, case studies. So it depends, really depends. On the using the tech, the thing is that we don't limit it ourselves to say, hey, you have to learn this new SDK so you can do something with the blockchain. We provide basically a fully fledged solution again, which is encompassing all the Web2 needs, but Web3 solutions are integrated as part of it. Like, for example, if you want to say, I want to do achievements in my game, I want to have like multiplayer, I want to have, messaging, notification, anything that usually you might want to have in your game, we have it on Ultra as well. Which means we provide you tooling to make your game faster and better and easier, while providing you the solution to build using blockchain as well. So if you say, oh, my item, my potion is like a virtual item, sure, all good. Use the SDK to do that for you, so you don't have to code it. I want it to be actually also NFT. When people kill this monster, I want 5% chance it drops a potion, which is an NFT, the rare one. Sure, just tick the box and that's it. write a little piece of code, 5% chance, this monster, this item. And the rest is done by the SDK and the blockchain. So this is really convenient because you don't need to push a lot of new concepts to developers. They can use traditional coding languages like C++, JavaScript, C#, whatnot. The blockchain is C++ as well. So that was also a requirement for us because we know the games industry mainly work on C++ or derivatives. And that's really the big difference. If you go to another layer one, usually it's on Solidity or some new ways. So you have to learn and understand new concept and new language. But here, they know what it is. Okay, just make a smart contract. It sounds complicated, but it's not. It's just another piece of code. read the documentation, you can make it yourself. It's not rocket science, as long as you can read what's going on. And that's why we made some of these kind of decisions.
So, I mean, we've sort of said it's fairly early days in terms of the client sort of going live, sort of global launch. Have you, what sort of feedback have you got in terms of on the sort of the consumer side? So, are there any sort of particular locations that are that, or sort of geographies that are sort of going for it? How are you sort of waiting for the sort of first generation of sort of games, the sort of Web3 enabled games? Where are you with that stuff?
Yeah, in terms of the launch, so we had no hiccups during the launch of the Ultra Games. Things went well. Nothing crashed and burned, so that's that's great. In terms of audience, we have a lot of French community. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's because we are, you know, a lot of the team is from France as well.
Yeah.
And so yeah, also I think the grasp maybe the value because also we talk sometimes in French, there is more interest as well. But yeah, all in all, that's right now we have a lot of Web3, Web2 gamers. A lot of Web3 for the moment. A lot of people who understand the blockchain because we didn't start really pushing on the Web2 side. Yeah. But once we start pushing on the Web2 side with Web2 influencers and all that, then we're going to grow much faster in that demographic. Cause simply there is an audience which is much bigger. Mm. And we provide a solution to people that have a problem. So it's also growing with the, you know, with the different projects in a sense. That's why we try to provide the best solution for people to use our technology. So if they are successful, we are successful as well. So you can have even just one game which is successful or one service which is successful, and all of a sudden you have a glowing ecosystem with a lot of users. That is very attractive then for a lot of developers to come in. And that's really how you start, you know, that snowballs. It's just like the network effect. The more you have, but you need a sort of spark.
Yeah.
Once you get that spark, it just explodes. That's really that's the thing with the ecosystem.
Yeah.
Is that one brings the other. And if you can drive that, for example, with like a cool AAA FPS, or if you, let's say we do a big tournament with AMD that brings, I don't know, 10K users, and then we do another one with, I don't know, Razer or you know, different ways we do that, we can start the pump. And that's really how this works. It's really have use the ecosystem, drive engagement and interest for the players when they're in, drives interest for the game developers and so on and so forth.
And as we sort of come to the end, are there any particular titles you think people should be looking at as we sort of move towards sort of we're halfway through the year now, I guess, almost. So what's the rest of the year looking like in terms of sort of those releases that you think are going to sort of spark that growth?
In terms of content, so for Ultra, there is a lot of things, lots of releases coming up. Tokenization is pretty much done. That's going to be very helpful. More improvement on, you know, game store, marketplace, wallet, and all that. I think the DEX is going to be very interesting. So with Agora DEX, that's going to be launching, which that will help a lot because it increases more liquidity to the network. It pulls basically from all different, not all of them, but the main ones, the main blockchains, and offers liquidity in Ultra for, you know, traditional tokens, but mainly gaming tokens. We have the opening of the NFT standard to everybody. So with the V1 that just got released, or it's about to be released on the mainnet. And the next step is to open it to everyone, so anybody can create their NFTs directly on chain, and all marketplaces of the network get access to it automatically. So anybody with a marketplace, an influencer, can talk about an NFT and benefit from it. We have the launch of Ultra Arena. That's going to come up, the V1, as we are developing the V2. More social layers as well, that's going to be key for us to help, you know, people connect within the ecosystem. Exclusive games. So we have the sports game and we have the exclusive FPS that are both for this year.
Do you have titles for those, or are they sort of you keeping that secret?
Yeah, we didn't release yet the title. Okay. But yeah, it's... I think it's so we could do it very soon. It's just here a matter of finishing some media and website marketing.
Are those games that you've developed, or are those games that you're working with third parties to develop?
So how did that work is basically we work with third parties. We don't develop in-house. We get really experts in their field. We had multiple game studios in the past, so we can look into what what the right people to work with, and we can also help on monetization since it's also in our experience. So we can help. Hey, you know, it worked like this in the Web3 space. This is how we're gonna do that. This is the modification, the game design that we should do, and this way we have really a game that makes a lot of sense, and then can leverage the entire ecosystem. So making sure they can do tournaments, making sure streaming-wise is interesting, esports-wise interesting. NFT-wise interesting as well, but mainly fun game, good game, that even there was no blockchain, you would still love to play that game because it's just a good game. That's really what we aim for.
Always a good starting point. Cool. So plenty to look forward to. Thanks very much for coming on the podcast. We'll have to have you back as those sort of titles start to roll out, and we start to see the snowball, the synergy, all those terms coming together. Thanks for your time, Nicholas.
Thanks a lot, John. Hope you have a great day, and we talk soon.
Absolutely. And thanks to you for watching, listening to the podcast, however you are consuming it. Every episode, we are talking to the people who are building out this incredibly, to me, at least interesting, fascinating sort of evolution of gaming. Some people think it's an evolution, some people think it's a revolution, and we won't have that discussion right now. But I think as Nicholas has sort of brought out, this is a very sort of taking on some themes that we've sort of understood over the last 35 years of gaming, and then really sort of mixing them up and I think bringing a much more holistic, a much more aligned way for people who play games, people who commentate on games, people who make games, people who are part of the games ecosystem, all to sort of have this sort of hopefully a win-win scenario, which I think is fascinating. I think, as you said, Nicholas, you know, there will be some really super cool experiences that we couldn't have without blockchain. That's what we all hope. So hopefully some of those will be arriving on Ultra in the next months and years. So come back next time, subscribe to the channel, and see you.